these gentlemen lived that long. And the thing that's interesting is that gene and that process that kept Methuselah or Enoch 365 years or whoever. I mean, you can go into the Bible or just type in Bible patriarchs longevity and you get a list of them. What is happening is they had specific enzymes and they had a different, if you will, not only digestive tract, but endocrine system and everything else. And God gave them what Adam had originally was eternal life in the garden until he chose to disobey and sin. And with Eve, they both sinned, okay? But the point is that this is what's going on in the headlines. So you can say, oh, I think that quail's whacked out, blah, blah, blah. And I would just say, I would say to all of you, then why is it that Brin, Sergey Brin and Mark Zuckerberg, Facebook guy or Zuckerberg, the bottom line is they're going to go give that amount of money to scientists for long life, okay? And that's what the devil's promising these people. That's what's the promise of vampirism, you guys?
Never dying. I mean,
they never die. But what has to happen in order for them never to die?
They're going to be bitten by another vampire.
Right, and they have to continually feast on the life force that's in the blood, correct?
Correct.
So, isn't it fascinating? And see, this is what I tell people, you would not want to be me, and you would not want to know what I know, and I don't brag about it. It's just with much knowledge comes much sorrow, and I can only tell you this. It's nothing about self-pity. It's about how do you help people that are going to come into the most horrific. Those of you that are being led and the Lord is speaking to you about this stuff, copy everything that is on my Genesis 6 website. Copy it, print it out, because there's going to come a time where basically the website will be gone. And for those of you that want it all put together, the easiest way, and I can tell you this, I'd rather read a book on this stuff personally than I don't know what my college degree costs. You know what, $40,000, $50,000. I got 2 degrees, and sometimes trying to deal with God's people, it seems like all I get is a third degree. But the point is that that's another attempt at humor. The point is, Doug, is that, you know, the price of a book like Aliens and Fallen Angels or Angel Wars or Genesis 6 Giants, I mean, I don't know how to explain to people, but all the questions that I have ever been asked are addressed in those three books in one form or another. And believe me, I get a lot of questions. And I want to make this comment. I know nothing about human relationships. I am not the guy to give anybody marital advice, okay? I got a dear brother, and the guy defends me and everything, and I don't know how to give anybody advice about how to get along with the opposite sex. So please don't send me those emails, okay? I'm not kidding, Doug, in what I'm saying. It's frustrating. I don't have the mind of the Lord. I know what the scriptures say, but I also know that Paul said, this is what the scripture says, and I speak this by license. There's a lot of people who are struggling in their marriage. Heck, everybody who is married struggles at some point or another. And there are so many people that are coming out of broken homes, broken backgrounds, and if you've got a tumultuous and distorted home life and you grew up in the worst of conditions, then I suggest you go to Life Skills International, Paul Hagstrom, and he's the one to talk about relationships and stuff. So please, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not the Dear Abby of marital advice. I cannot step into that realm, okay? It's not my calling. I have to stay with my calling. Just like tonight, Doug, before I went on the show, I've got people wanting me to address this and address that. No, I can't do what the people want. I have to do what the Lord tells me to, because I know what happened to King Saul when he listened to the people versus the voice of the Lord. You know the story, don't you? It cost him his kingdom. And so I could care less, and I don't mean this to be mean-spirited, and will all the whiners and the weenies just suck it up and keep your thoughts to yourself and say this, if this man is trying to give me something to save my life, if this man is trying to present me with a battle that's yet on my horizon and tell me how to overcome it, maybe I should listen, and I'll trust God. The ultimate relationship fixer-upper is Jesus. and I cannot do what only he can do. So I just had to get that out, Doug, because it's really frustrating to me when people say, could you tell me what to do with my wife? No, I can't. I have enough issues. You know, I'm just walking out my salvation, my own marriage every day. And I think, again, everybody needs to, you know to the, go to the Lord with those kind of problems.
I want to read an email that says it, why I do what I do. And somebody said, why not call it quits? And even the people that listen to me that knock us off the air, you know, and again, I can only tell you, you know, some people think I make this stuff up when huge amounts of money are brought. But here's the reason I do it. The Bible says, he who winneth souls is wise. And this is a guy that, and I love his pen name, I am Scott Free. He said, I want to thank you. You know, he calls me Mr. Quayle. Well, thank you, but I prefer you guys call me Stevie. Your work is not only fascinating, but brought me back to the truth of the Lord Jesus. After my brother passed, I backslid and fell for the ancient alien lie. He said, I heard you and Stan Dale, and I had an awakening. Thank you and bless you. So the point that I'm trying to make in all this is, listen, I know for a fact there's a hunger in God's people's heart for truth. If there's no hunger, then you better question your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you know all the answers, then write a book and I'll buy your book. I don't know all the answers. All I know is the area that the Lord has called me to address. Obviously, I have shared my testimony enough times, and when people say, who do you think you are? I said, well, actually, I'm like the guy on the street corner that basically has no righteousness of his own. I know what kind of a total, how should I say this, disgusting human being I was before I met Jesus. And so all I can do is beat my breast, and instead of saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner, I just say, Jesus, thank you for being merciful to me, a sinner. I mean, there's a big difference. One is a joyful thing. And the thing that I can say is this, is that if there's any of those of you out there that are still puzzled, or you're traumatized by abductions, you're traumatized by demons. And I hear from more Christians having encounters with evil spirits. I'm hearing from Christians who have been raped by an incubus, that's a male demon, or men who have been raped by a succubus, that's a female demon. And the point that I want people to understand is this, is that God's word has answers. For instance, the whole 91st Psalm, the terror that comes by night, that's talking about Lilith the night hag, okay? Well, if you don't understand who Lilith the night hag is, and when you understand the word man-eater, and man-eater literally means a woman in this context, I'm going to be really as, how do I say this? As careful as I know how to be. I can be blunt, by the way. I can be so blunt. I'm not trying to be blunt and offensive, but let me just say this. Imagine a woman who lures a man sexually and then starts to devour him from his private parts up. That's where the word man-eater came from in history. It has nothing to do with a song written by Michael Cimbello for Flashdance, although, you know, maybe that was a good song. I don't know. But the point is, I wonder how I knew that. Well, the point is that we're dealing with such amazing historical facts. So when you're talking about the terror that comes by night, what did that mean in the 91st Psalm? Well, the point is that it has a lot to say, because look, when you're dealing with the context of our ancient forefathers who fought the good fight of faith, whether it's King David taking down Goliath, and you know, there are wimpy people who are, you know, I don't know ancient Chaldean. But I can tell you this, when I know 100 ancient accounts of how big Goliath was, for someone to claim that David's 5'2 and Goliath is 6'2, that man is basically an intellectual whore. And I won't name him, but I just will tell you, that's a lie. Then you've got guys who do great work, but attribute everything to the Anunnaki. Zechariah Sitchin did some great work. Well, Sitchin couldn't make the connection between the Anunnaki, meaning those from who from heaven to earth came, and basically the fallen angels. You know, and the Anunnaki, Anu is one of the gods of the Epic of Gilgamesh, gods meaning little g, you know, fallen angels. So this stuff is important, Doug, because what people don't realize is that they use words every day. They use words that came into being out of an entire different world of real usage. You can redefine words all you want, but if you want to know what the intent of the writers who used them was, you have to go back into the context of their vocabulary. First of all, one of the great words I know, if I say to both of you,
What does the word berserk mean? Okay, I love this. Berserk. What does it mean?
Crazy. How's that?
Crazy, okay. Would you believe that word came from a German or a Germanic tribe of giants that destroyed 30,000 Romans in an afternoon, and they were giants? I mean, these guys were not, just imagine 9 to 12 foot entities and basically using Roman soldiers for shish kebab on the end of their spears, and the name of them were the Berserkers, Berserkers, okay? Or let's take Jack the Giant Killer, and if you've never read the British Isles giant stories, it's fascinating because the statement, fee, fi, fo, fum, I smell the blood of an Englishman. It took a high-ranking military officer to tell me the reason that they smell, it's how the giants, and this was interesting to me, he said they track by the harmonics of the scent of your DNA, okay? And that's interesting to me. Just like a bloodhound would track, that's how the giants hunted their prey. That's why the Native Americans, you know, basically had to use so much smoke, and that's how they would basically take on the giants, and they do it with the copper spear, solid copper, and somebody wanted me to dress this tonight, and that was told to me. I couldn't know this stuff, Doug, unless the people that really fight these things told me. And then they said, well, how do you know they're not giving you a line of bull? Because I can go into history and read how the Indians and Native Americans fought them, and it all lines up. So the point is, and why did David cut off Goliath's head? He cut off his head because the giants have an amazing ability to spontaneously regenerate unless the head is severed. I had a 4-star general tell me that, and thank you, 357 SIG, for that. The point
Now, just to add or buttress what you're saying there, okay, I had a recent conversation with somebody you know, one of my contacts, okay?
Okay.
And he said a couple of things. I want to kind of get your take on this, because to me, this just absolutely blew my mind. And folks, listen to Steve's response, okay? The first thing he told me, consciousness resides outside of the body. Okay, now, if that is true, and let's assume for the purpose, just for a second here, before you respond, let's assume that's true. He said, think of it this way. Everyone's DNA is slightly different in harmonic frequency. Mine's a little different than yours. You know, we're kind of like antennas. DNAs are like antennae, perhaps, where the harmonics are just a touch different than each other's. Now, the people that we're talking about, the Luciferians, the Illuminati, the Illuminists, the people in power, and this is where it applies to today, since we're talking about this, believe, just as like your consciousness as well as your memories resides outside the body, and if you can imagine this big hard drive, you know, with somewhere, virtual hard drive, or a cloud, you know, an internet cloud of consciousness, the people today believe that they can actually... even if they die, perhaps they can, through DNA manipulation, live again and reaccess, we'll say, the consciousness of pharaohs or even their own conscious that's resonant outside the body. Does that make sense, or did I screw that up?
Obviously, I hope your source, but let's just make it clear. I don't know his name. I don't know anything. I just know of him, and that's for his sake and my sake. So, you know, and for the record, I was contacted by some law enforcement guys on a federal level, and they said they can't tell me their names, and had some questions, and I sent them back an email. I said, brother, I don't, and the guy's a Christian, I said, I don't ask anybody's names. You see, when I hear, well, tell us your name, or you're just making this stuff up, I basically say, go back to the hole you crawled out of, you child of hell, you spawn of heaven's rebellion, because those are the kind of questions where, you know, I can't give up any names if I don't know the name. So it is my operating style not to request or need to know names. How I do it, I try and get two or three verifications. Sure, I get snookered sometimes. Most of the times it's people taking old news stories and sending them to me. Look, I'm a one-man show. Meaning that I've got a, you know, I have my Daryl, my guy that puts up some of the stuff on my website, but I'm responsible for it. But when you know what it's like, Doug, I'm not making excuses, but I'm writing the biggest book of my life, okay, and thank God, Mac, bless you, thank you. Thank God, Dennis and Shanna, thank God for all of you that are helping me in this realm. It is a it's a composite effort, but I'm still, if you will, the captain of the ship. And I can only say this, if people understood the amount of data that I have to sort through, they just simply couldn't handle it. They can't. And because I'm wired different than most people, and I've actually had brain scans and gone into spec scans, and if you know what those are, and I've been told, boy, you don't function like most people. You know, and that's why I used to get bawled out by certain people for not being able to follow instructions. I said, yeah, if I build a swing set, it looks like something Edward Scissorhands would build, you know. And I mean, yeah, I just can't do it, okay. And to me, you know, an instruction book is nothing more than an effective target for 22. So the thing that I'm trying to say here is this, is that the amount of data that is processed, I have to try and get two or three separate validations. What your source is telling you is exactly true. Because the Illuminati, look, I was told point blank that the Illuminati has my, DNA. And then I got pissed. And I'm sorry for using that word, but look, we're talking about the end of the age. We're talking about monsters, ghouls, goblins, demons, and that's a biblical term, just like bastard is. And if that is offensive to you, then you better check your self-righteous religious cloak at the door. And I got to tell you something. Again, the problem with most men today is that they have quizzicals and have not passed the testicle part of their life. And meaning that, you know, the scripture when it said the men in the midst of thee are women, I can't tell you. All you got to do, and I don't listen to Dr. Laura, but if you listen to Dr. Laura when you're traveling and get her on the talk channel, by the way, I think she's a brilliant woman. I mean, when I hear the men there, my goodness, I'm aghast. And I'll turn to my wife as she's in the car and I say, is that what's represented by men calling in Dr. Laura? Most of them, and I'm going to say this, you know, it's like they're sniveling weenies, okay? Well, I love some of the men of God that I know because they are absolutely, they are the men of God. And when men of God preach and teach the young men how to be men of God, something happens. But you can't put a wuss in the pulpit and expect anything but wussies to come out of the congregation, you know? I mean, let me share this. If I want to go find spineless jellyfish, I'm going to go diving, okay? I can always scuba diving. I can always run into jellyfish. I just don't expect them to be the human equivalent of blobs. And not only blobs, but gobs of blobs. In other words, this is my experience. It's not out of bitterness. It's out of practicality. You cannot like produces light. You cannot teach a person the revelation of God unless God has given that revelation. And so it's amazing to me when I hear people now, the great attack is on Paul the Apostle. You know, he's not really, there's so much error. Paul said God is going to judge the world through his gospel. So when I hear people, and I part of company with people, if someone says they don't believe Paul, you know, I just part company with them. I will not talk to them. I will have nothing to do with them again because they basically have just thrown out the book of Romans, the book of Corinthians. They've thrown out all the epistles, and they're saying that their life is better than the man who persecuted the Christians, who's literally knocked off of his ass on the road to Damascus, is blinded by the glory of the Lord, told to go to Ananias, into Joppa and have him pray for his eyesight. This is amazing. I have a pastor friend, Dane, ex-Special Forces guy. I love this guy. Instantly, I have fellowship with him. Or my friend Pastor Bruce, or my friend John Kyle, or David Langford. David is probably one of the most amazing men of God I know. And I'm not praising him or embellishing him or flattering him. David and I are very frank with each other, but David is an absolute living example of God's redemptive power in a renegade. I can tell you point blank. Or my friend Cornelius II. Man, he thrills my heart when he says, Steve, I've burned out a pair of tires in under three months, you know, and I know how fast he drives, and I say, right on, brother. You know, and somebody says, well, he should not drive fast because you're endangering lives. He doesn't endanger anybody's life. He just opens it up when he's got, you see, we become a bunch of weenies. We have lost the pioneer spirit. We have lost the perseverance spirit, not all of them. And so, sure, you can go out and get a bunch of trained killers that are just licking their chops to come get their shot at you, Doug, or their shot at me or Hawk or whoever, you know, Greg Evenson, God knows. But I want you guys to know, be very careful because Greg's surrounded by angels, and he knows how to give it back to you. So the point is that that's not a threat. You see, when it's shooting fish in the barrel, it's one thing. But when the fish go with bulletproof vests and they have Gatling guns in the water, and somebody goes to shoot them with a .22 and a barrage of, 20-millimeter, chain gun come at them, then that's a whole different story. What I'm saying is, in the spiritual metaphor, the power of God is not bound by our limitations, yet we are the one bound by our limitations because we do not know, acknowledge, or appropriate the power of God. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think you cover a lot of ground there. From the wimpization, from the metrosexuality of men, self-castration,
their inability to discern simple matters that they should know. And this comes, as you know, and as new PDFs have been released on the manipulation of society, culture, norms, and values, and their continuation to manipulate these norms and our culture. So people are falling into this way that culture is moving instead of the way and standing strong that they should be in the Word.
Well, again, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. I try and put up quotes of the day, which really should be quotes of the week. If I leave them up, it's not that I'm too lazy to change them. But, the quotes I put up, I think Monday, are still up on faith. The just shall live by faith. Well, the point is that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. When the Bible says the just shall live by faith, it doesn't say the just shall live by government endowment, okay? And ultimately, Joe and Doug and everyone listening, though the Roman Christians were persecuted because they were told that Caesar's God, you are going to be persecuted because you're not going to acknowledge they who claim to be God, where they come in spaceships or, giant fruitcakes with wings. Oh, by the way, giant fruitcakes with wings, that just pretty much tells you how Congress and the Senate function, okay? The point is that...
I knew you were going to say that.
Listen, yeah, you got that one, right?
Yeah,
the point is,
I knew exactly where you're going. Yeah.
Yeah, so the point is that we are now at a time unlike any in history, and I want to reiterate this again. There is no way I can cover 6,000 years of Earth's history and then the dateless past. What I've done is spent 40 years of my life in investigation. And please, ladies and gentlemen, one thing I want to make clear too, Doug, my books are not on Amazon. If you see a report on Amazon that somebody's read my book, I don't think they can put a report on except to be fake. I had a guy call me because he got offended because I didn't agree with him. He wrote a bad report about my book and put it up on Amazon. Well, I can challenge it, but why? So, and this guy claimed to be, I'm with you, bro. The minute I hear I'm with you, bro, man, I'm telling you what, my sword is at the ready. And I'm serious. I'm talking about, and I don't mean a physical sword. I'm talking about, I'm on guard. Because when you fence, when you're going to notify your partner, what's the first thing you say? If you're Peter Sellers, you say, on guard. But, we would say on guard. In other words, get ready. It's how in martial arts, when you step into the ring in full contact karate, you might have to bow to your opponent, but your eyes are on him at all times. And, you're going... His next move is going to be this, and my move is going to be this. So I guess what I'm trying to say is what I'm trying to teach people is to square off in the arena of faith, because what's coming is beyond my ability to articulate it in such a way that I cannot even... I could be as gross, and when I say gross, I don't mean swearing or profane, but I just mean I could get as bloody and gory as the pictures that have filled my mind in visions and revelations from the Lord, and I can't do it, Doug. I just can't do it, and I've asked the Lord to give me license not to. I said, Lord, that's one realm you're going to have to speak to your people on. So when I put up the dreams and visions on my website, stevequayle.com, and I encourage everybody to go to the dreams and visions and the alerts section every day, because that's where the hot personal stuff goes as people come in. And I get people arguing with everything. By the way, let me just speak of the precious metals. My financial guy, and there are people listening to the show that don't like what he said, but at least JJ and V agree on one thing. They're both, JJ is one of the world's most famous traders in commodity, exceptionally brilliant man, but
you know, the gold market is being manipulated, the silver market is being manipulated. If you go and look at the charts on Kitco and go back a year ago to, I think it's July, you'll see that the low on silver was 2670 and the low on gold was maybe 1540. So what they're doing, ladies and gentlemen, they're forcing, they meaning JP Morgan and the entities that control them, the Fed, are forcing the spot market price down, and they're doing that in order to allow the people they made deals with to buy up all the physical silver and gold, which there's a lot of physical silver and gold being sold. Yesterday, the two biggest wholesalers in the country of precious metals are both $1 billion in sales, you know, billions. I mean, these are not little outfits. There's only six of them in the country, told me they had the busiest day all year because not, and I said, is it the little guys buying? He said, absolutely not. They're scared, you know, to use another word, but he said, but what we're seeing is people with big money coming in and buying it all up. So is that just a statement of a gold dealer who can't say, gee, the reason gold and silver are going down, V was on your radio program talking about that. You remember that, Doug?
Yeah, I do, Steve, and I want to kind of ask a question that kind of extends off of what he said. Are we seeing, is this kind of a warning sign to a last gasp, if you will, of what's coming?
Yes, in other words, I think a better way to say it is this the last manipulation? Well, first of all, based on the amount of money going in and the amount of money coming into the gold and silver market, by the way, $1 billion pretty much, maybe two, buys all the silver that's in existence right now. And I'm not talking in ETFs, exchange-traded funds, or any of that. I'm talking about physical silver and gold. I stay up on that stuff, Doug. Actually, I stay up too late at night on that stuff. But when everyone else is sleeping, I'm watching the markets in either Japan or in London because I have the capability of trading 24/7, okay? And I found that my body just can't, you know, I'm going with 4 hours of sleep, and my brother Bruce, who is a wonderful man of God, has said, Steve, God's going to slow you down 20% and make you 80% more effective. I thought, Bruce, I accept that word, you know, because I would love to slow down. Even a guy sent me an email tonight saying, will you slow down? You know, when you're talking, here's what I'm contending with, everyone. I'm contending with information that is absolutely, how should I say this, not only provocative, but terrifying in its ramifications. Because most of us don't live in a world of blood and gore. People who've lived in the battlefield and who have basically, you know, had to do cleanups on extreme accidents and slaughters and all that stuff do. But most of us simply don't, including me. Yet when I don't, and 40 years ago I'm given a vision, a literal vision of the end time events, and that's what's motivated me to write. Had I known the ridicule, had I known the scorn, had I known the hate, the death threats, the contempt, the actual, if you will, the most wicked expression of human depravity, I don't think I probably would have said, yes, Lord, God in his grace gave me the grace to do it, but I really don't think anybody would do it outside of being called to do it. And again, what's fascinating to me is everybody can get on the rapture bandwagon. Try getting on it when everybody's saying rapture, pre-trib rapture, pre-trib rapture, and the Lord tells you there's not going to be a pre-trib rapture. He said, my people have always had to go through the furnace of the fire, but I'm with them. Gives me Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Gives me Daniel in the lion's den. Gives me King Jehoshaphat fighting against insurmountable odds. And the Lord says, don't even take up your weapon. Just start to praise me, and I'll give you the victory. And then he has the army that would have decimated Jehoshaphat and the children of Israel turn their swords on each other. Or how about Pharaoh drowning in the sea? You know, again, the scripture basically declares that the battle is the Lord's, but we have to do our part. And our part is exercising our trust, our faith, okay, and basically coming to the conclusion, and this is hard for all of us, me too, it's really hard, that God is who he says he is and will do what he says he will do based on his promise. That Jesus really meant what he said when he said, behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. You see, Doug, I could go on talk radio. I mean, I could. I'm not going to. Outside of the 1 day a week or 2 days a week in this case because of last night's interruption, I could go on and I could continue to talk about the monetary system or the Federal Reserve or gun confiscation or the political blah, 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 blah.
The Lord said, Steve, I'm changing your direction. You need to minister to my people. I said, Lord, you're going to help me love your people because there's a whole lot of them I don't like. Okay? Now, how many people will tell you that? I had a guy throw that up in my face, and I said, brother, the difference between me is you think it in your heart and won't say it. I know I need a change of heart, but I will tell the truth. So, you know, the point that I'm trying to get, Doug, is that the hardest, and for my point of reference, who gave Jesus the worst time? The religious people, okay? Who actually wanted the system to kill Jesus? The people who were benefiting financially from, you know, their religious system, okay? In other words, you know, they didn't want God's house to be a house of prayer. They wanted to be a television evangelist broadcast begging for money. And that's exactly how I see those guys, okay? Don't tell me that this brother is such a wonderful thing. God doesn't build his kingdom on the widow's might. Faith demonstrates itself by the widow's might, but you don't build the kingdom of God by sucking money and the life out of people by promising them, if you just give me $239, I'll give you 239 blessings. And if you want God to like you, you need to sow into my ministry. As a guy drives a Ferrari and a Lamborghini Giraldo and has, you know, multi-million dollar houses, I would say this, that man is conducting himself in a manner that would make any whore or prostitute in history jealous. Now, if that's offensive, so be it, you know? You see, we settle for so much vomit that nobody knows the scripture anymore, taste and see that the Lord is good, you know? Taste and see that the Lord is good. And I'm sorry we got off Bigfoot tonight, but it just, the idea is that, you know, I have to go, and I'm sorry that I veered from that. But here's what I'm doing, everybody. I'm going to start putting up on my Genesis 6 giant site, long before the book goes up, a lot of the findings and stuff that will blow your mind. I have found that because of the question asked to me earlier, and I'm not mad at Andre or whatever, the female, or even Doug, you and Joe, I'm not mad at that, but I'm failing to communicate the major point. Bigfoot is an addendum. The issue is the warfare and the multidimensional attack that's coming against the people of God. And it's going to be in a realm that is both fleshy and bloody. It's going to be a unparalleled period of gore. We're already seeing things I warned about. I remember talking, and I'm going to just tell everybody. I told everybody 20 years ago that you'll know you're in the end times when beheading becomes a daily affair in the headlines, when cannibalism is no longer a rarity or a scarcity but a commonality, when human life is debased and debauched, when mankind reverts to the most animal instinct. And look, I know what it's like to live like a total dog in heat, okay? That's the only way I know how before I came to Jesus, okay? So I know that part of life. And yet what I found, if the blood of Jesus is so efficacious and is so effective, does that mean I don't struggle? Absolutely. You guys think you come under attack? I want to thank, again, every intercessor who prays for me. I want to thank Romy, who spends hours in prayer coming against the attack, and then she gets physically attacked and falls down and rips her rotator cuff or is tripped, you know, or whatever. God bless you, Romy. I want to thank Manette, who weeps and prays and fasts. I want to thank Diana. I want to thank Tracy. I want to thank everybody in Bruce and Susan's congregation. These are people that are so concerned, and I want to thank Dr. and Emily for what you guys have done for me all these years, because, you know, I was told by a general, quit going on coast to coast, Steve. The guy is not, you know, going to help you. And at one point, you know, obviously I had to leave coast to coast because of, you know, some personal issues I had. Because of the fact that I cannot go along with ghosts and ghouls and goblins and you know, all that stuff anymore. It cannot be done. And again, Doug, as I've said before, the majority of my response from coast to coast listeners, when some shows I get 1,000 emails the following day, were from Christians who listen to Coast to Coast. Christians are hungry for the truth. You're either going to get it with the devil's slant,
or you're going to get it with a biblical imperative. And then the thing that you've got to do is, look, I can give everybody 40,000 footnotes, but if they won't read and seek God and ask him to show them stuff, 90% of what I get isn't from footnotes. It's from the prayer of God's intercessors. The reason I'm not taken out, I've had people say this, I wish you would die. That way I know that you were telling the truth, because you couldn't live if you were telling the truth. Well, yes, I can, because, you know, 1,000 will fall at my left side, 10,000 my right, but it's the intercessors. It's not because of moral quality of my life. I make the statement. Look, I'm a guy who's a sinner saved by grace. I have no commendation except I have a passion for he who saved me to quit allowing pagans and the spawn of hell to mock Jesus. And trust me, if my prayers were answered, the face of the earth would be different tomorrow. But because the prophecy must be fulfilled, the word of God must be fulfilled, the Lord can obviously see my intent and the genuine nature of my intercession. But because his plan is greater than what I can see, and his ways are greater, and I'm not even comparing myself, Lord. I'm just saying, Lord, there are certain things that should be happening just to get these guys' attention. Because, Lord, even as an earthly father, if someone was taking on my son and being ruthless and cruel and putting his picture in a vat of urine and defecating and putting all these monstrosities and calling it art, I mean, trust me. Elijah's fire on the altar of the prophets of Baal would seem like kindling, you know. But you see, again, there's a difference between the anger of man that does not work the righteousness of God and holy indignation. I pray for the day that the men of God and the women, by the way, I've said this, thank you, women of God who are intercessors, because the bravest, most powerful intercessors I met to date, minus a couple pastors, are all women. They're not women who are pastors. They are women who are praying. They're warriors. And I would rather line up with the Deborahs than the dilettantes in the pulpit, okay? And there are mighty women of God. And you know, here's what I want to say. But that does not give those women of God the right to become Jezebel. And that's the danger. And Pastor Bruce and I had a good talk about this week. And at some point, because I don't want to, you know, expose him to any undue flack, Doug, like you and I are used to taking, you know, I just will call him that. But bless you, Brother Bruce. Bless you, Susan. Bless the entire congregation. Bless you, John and Linda. Bless you, David. Bless you, Kim. Thank you, Tracy. These are people, J.D., Jenny. Boy, thank you, Cornelius II. These are people, thank you, James P. in Colorado. These are people that have put their lives on the line, and they have stood in the gap to help others. You know, they're the ones that encourage me because they care in a loving way. And, Doug, you've been blessed by some of those people I just named.
Very much so.
You know, let me share this. The Bible is absolutely going to be fulfilled before us. And that's the thing that we have got to come to the grips with, okay? We have got to come to grips with. We have got to recognize, look, I don't know, and this is how I approach everything I do. Someone says, well, why can't you stick to Bigfoot or UFOs? Because there are issues that are bigger than that at the point. I went last night with the idea I'd do 3 hours. The devils that are, the powers that be, the Lucys from Lucyland made sure that they express themselves and, you know, shot, quote, the fire, or fired the shot across the bow. Well, praise God, we're not the good ship of Lollipop, we're in the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's, ladies and gentlemen, I don't understand the dynamics of it, but I know this, that while there's yet a voice to proclaim Jesus that's still salt in this wicked earth, okay? I know the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, but I also know that God himself made the statement that he will destroy those who destroy the earth. They can basically shoot themselves in whatever part of their body with whatever Methuselah gene or genetic altering drug. They can download their entire subconscious into a new duplicate of them, a clone duplicate. They can party hardy in this life and in the life they think they're going to have, but at the point that God pulls the plug on the power and the juice that's keeping them going, they're going to be like portrait of Dorian Gray, a great movie, by the way, black and white movie. But, you know, his picture never aged. As long as the picture was youthful, he was youthful. But once the mirror was broken,
he aged rapidly and accelerated. Same thing with a vampire. Cut off the blood and they die. But it's the same thing in a Christian's life. If you're not transfused by the blood of Jesus, the blood, the life is in the blood, Leviticus. The power of God is in the blood. If that's offensive to you as a Christian, you better go to the altar. You better repent and get right. Because the bottom line is, this is the power of God unto salvation. It's the blood of Jesus that cleanses us. The blood, it's the life of Jesus that flows. It's the heavenly transfusion that goes. It's the power of the Holy Spirit who leads, guides, and directs. It's the power of the Spirit of God that infuses with the knowledge of the Most High. And it's not by searching, do you get it? You can search the Scripture. Jesus said to the Pharisees, you do well, but they speak of me, and you say, but who are you? So, ladies and gentlemen, I would just say, those of you who are Christians, go to the Lord. Say, Lord, is this stuff true or is it wacky? Lord, show me what I can't see. And then lay aside your bias and repent and say, Lord, if I'm being stubborn, help me to see my stubbornness. And it's amazing how God will answer a contrite heart, but he will completely avoid a proud heart.
Well said. You know, and I think people have to know or should know the backstory. You know, Steve, when you express your displeasure with the mockers and the people that give you trouble, I just want people to imagine themselves, you know, 40 years having, let's say, one of the worst migraines you can have, and on top of that have a broken tooth and a toothache, and then you're walking around and stub your toe, and you're just trying to seek some sort of comfort in your chair in the dark room somewhere until you can, you know, get rid of your headache and your toothache and your painful toe. And then you've got somebody, generally a righteous, self-proclaimed righteous Christian, taking a sharp stick and poking at you all of the time. And imagine having that happen for 30 or 40 years, like, you know, you have, Steve. Now, I'm not making an excuse, but the mental picture here is, from what I've experienced over the last year with respect to some of the most self-proclaimed righteous Christians saying, well, you should not do this, or you should do that, or you're wrong here, and how dare you speak of this, and holy cow, just my year of that as we've had this program, I cannot imagine sustaining 40 years in your shoes. So people should understand. Yeah, I don't even know if I made a correct mental. Does that sound about right? I mean, you know, it's just like,
well, yeah, and it's not that I'm sitting around licking my wounds, but I will tell you this, that and I say this, I am absolutely calling on God to control my mouth, because my mouth can bless God or it can curse men, okay? But there comes a time when weenies who hide behind, they've never done anything, they hide behind anonymous names. I had a guy take me to task because, you know, I hurt his feeling. He sends me an anonymous email. Any of you send me anonymous emails, I think you're cowards. I think you are absolutely written in the last chapter of Revelation. When those of you send me emails, yeah, I will not even answer them. I did answer this one guy, okay? Here's the thing. It's amazing that people who want anonymity, and I hear they're Christians. You cannot be a Christian and not care about the lost. If you don't care about the lost, if you don't care about eternal life, if you don't care about what God thinks of you, oh, you can think whatever. You can call, and I don't mean any disrespect to the Lord, but the God of heaven is not the tooth fairy. The God of heaven is not the Wizard of Oz. The God of heaven is not the man in the sky. When I hear people talk about the Lord, the man in the sky, it is so offensive to me, I almost want to unload with my superlatives. And trust me, I used to be known as someone who would get kicked out of public events from my mouth, okay, before I became a Christian. So by the grace of God, I am throttling back, okay, although some of these people would do good to get throttled. But again, you know, Doug, here's what we're talking about, and let me maybe put this into perspective. Righteous indignation is different from the anger of man in this. Righteous indignation was what David expressed when Goliath was mocking the God of heaven. I want to put everybody into a conscience quiz tonight. When's the last time you stuck up for Jesus when you could have, but you stayed silent because you were worried about what people would say? When's the last time you fell back to how God used to use you, but for 20 years, because you've been a wimp, a weenie, and a coward, you won't step up to the plate? When's the last time you basically had the opportunity to you saw somebody and their focus or their gaze, you knew in your heart that you should go tell them that God loves them, maybe give them a $50 bill. Well, I'm just using those as three simple things. Yet, you know what I hear all the time? I hear, well, God didn't call me to do that. So what did he call you to do? Sit and have a bowel movement and wait for the second coming? Because I'm not kidding you. I've literally told people, if their bowels are moving, shouldn't they try and keep up with their bowels? Somebody says, oh, that's offensive. Listen, what's offensive is what they've got planned for the Christians. They've got planned for the Christians. Brother Bob's vision. Al Cuppett put it out, and I've had parts of it on my website. I still won't put it all up. But I can tell you this. The visions and dreams, even some of the visions and dreams I get, I won't put up. And I do want to answer one question. Please ask Steve about the Nephilim genetic markers that are upon us now and how to tell if someone is a Nephilim. Number one, you would have six fingers, six toes, and double sets of teeth, okay? You would have, and they can call it medically polydactylism. Number two, you would absolutely not have been able to come to Jesus because the Spirit of God only woos us. So if you're a Christian and you've come to Jesus, number three, the one question I can't answer, if you're 20% Nephilim and 80% human, are you still salvageable? I don't know the answer to that one, but I will say this. The Bible says, and it shall come to pass that all who call upon the name of the Lord can be delivered. If your heart is smiting you, you don't have to worry about it. That means Jesus is drawing you, because no man comes unto the Father except the Son draw him, and that through the Holy Spirit. That's the best answer. It's not an evasive answer. And let me also say this. If you had outstanding Nephilim genetic markers, your genes are already in the gene bank. The whole purpose of the Human Genome Project, I said this when it first came into being 10 years ago, was to identify the genetic markers of the Nephilim. I've even had people, I had Lucius Truss send me an email making sure he knew that I blasphemed the Holy Ghost. And I sent him back a loving email saying, Hellspawn, enjoy eternal damnation. Okay? Unless you understand what Lucius Truss is, unless you understand what a person intentionally speaks with such vehement wickedness against the Holy Ghost, I'm sorry, but that guy's unredeemable. Or maybe that's not the correct way to say it, but he's beyond redemption. And, Doug, I sent that to you.
Yeah, I saw that, and I could not believe the underlying viciousness, vile nature of those words in that email. I mean, I was offended just getting a copy of it. Not offended, but I could tell that. It's just an incredible.
All I would say is this. If you guys hear these people, these Christians attacking me, first of all, any of you who put up my YouTubes for the sake of those, my name is copyrighted, everything's copyrighted, so anybody that puts them up, now, I don't mind, but I'd ask that you basically, what's the word where they connect that you can't post comments? You've got to know. What?
Disable the comments. Disable the comments, folks.
Yeah, disable the comments, because people need to hear what's being said, and those of you who claim to be Christians, whether you own the boards or whatever, and done your best to undermine me, destroy me and everything, God will hold the blood of the innocents on your head. And those of you who were too passive, and that's why I want to thank, Aftermath Bob, I want to thank you for all the years, Bill, that you have always, always stood up for, me, as not only my friend, but as a servant of the Lord. What's happening, Doug, is people that know nothing. It's just like this, okay? I've been in precious metals for, 35 years, and somehow I don't know anything, but people that don't know the difference between a silver dime and a wartime nickel are experts on everything, Or the people, this is my favorite, well, I don't buy gold because the Bible says they're going to throw their gold in the street and it's going to canker. Oh, yeah, well, read Daniel 11:38, because the Antichrist is still to come, and he's going to be worshiped with gold and silver and precious stones. So the day that the gold and silver won't deliver you is in the day of the Lord. One day, at the end of the tribulation, when God says, my turn, he's actively involved until that time, but nothing's going to save it. And that's when these people that live in their underground, and I'm talking about the Illuminati, live in their underground cities and think they got it all made, with all of their mistresses and madness, that's when the glory of the Lord will go into the deepest labyrinths of the earth, that will go to the deepest hideaways of the universe. And instantly will the Lord Jesus slay them with the breath of his mouth. Listen, God is a mighty, 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 mighty general of the hosts of heaven. When it says Lord of hosts, that literally means the captains are the generals of the armies of heaven. And so, ladies and gentlemen, you can either get right with Jesus or you can continue to be in your petty bickering world where you could not and would not help anybody if their lives depended on it. And because of your sin, selfishness, arrogance, and pride, you will do everything to block the word of anybody who's preaching Jesus, that men might turn to Jesus and be saved. And I absolutely, Doug, by the grace of God, I know I'd better stop now, because again, James says, with your tongue you bless God. I have never been more amazed at the amount of self-righteous, do-nothing, anonymous cowards that will bust my bottom, and yet they have never done anything, and they're so worried that they might be on the government's list. For those of you who live in that realm, let me tell you something. You better be worried that your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, because if the angels of heaven grant any man the greatest gift that I think God would give, it would be to see that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, because if it isn't, you're in the Book of the Dead, and the Book of the Dead is the Book of the Damned.
And it's a forever book. Yeah, I'm surprised, Steve. Just assume your name is written in the books of man, where you know in the DHS or whoever is doing the monitoring at any given time. Just assume that you're already there. But be more concerned, as you say, that your book, either your name is written in the Book of Life, because I think that's what we're talking about. And this was said to me exactly this way. Today, this is for all of the marbles. And I said that yesterday. It was said to me yesterday. This is for what we're talking about. What Steve's talking about is for all the marbles. I mean, this is the end game, is it not, Steve? I mean, this is it.
And Doug, I think you should tell the people, because again, I don't know your source, but did he not tell you that I'm telling the people the truth? And let me say something. When he's at the level he's at, he's had to have had cosmic clearance. He's had to have had, you know, cosmic clearance. If you don't know what that is, don't give me the stuff about, well, I have top secret clearance, and my grandfather was in World War II, says Quayle's crazy. 28 steps above you, pal, unless you know what Majestic 12 is, you can't even start in that argument. That's not meant to be proud. It's meant to put people into the realization. I didn't give you a chance to ask. Did he not say that?
As if you need endorsement. Absolutely, he said that. He said that 100%, that your sources, that your information is 100% accurate. In fact, he went further and said that you probably, you could go, yeah, but people wouldn't understand, because he thinks that you've got more in your intellectually to give than you've given. And I think you've done that for the grace of people, you know, for like you said, you can't go into the graphics, or you have chosen not to, the graphic scenes and scenarios. It's real. But yes, I mean, to answer your question, yes, absolutely. He said you're 100% accurate, that this person has that knowledge and clearance and the context himself. So, no, I mean, you were, yeah, 100%.
Yep, and again, the only thing I'm trying to tell people is this. Look, I want to see faithfulness with what I've already given. There are people that absolutely have responded. Those people I share with. When I love this. I get the anonymous email, and this is a good place to close. Tell me what you really know. Well, like, you know, just like that statement, you know, you can't handle the truth. I have a little different spin on this. Say, what have you done with anything or all of what I've already told you, you know? And it's like the people, you know, the nameless people, you know. Well, the nameless people are... the voices, they're just basically the VOD, V-O-D, okay? That's the voice of the devil. And look, I understand criticism, and I understand that there are people who are easily offended. I understand that. But, you know, Jesus even had to make the statement, look, put me aside, but take the words I'm speaking. Go look up the scriptures, and don't settle for moron A or moron B telling you what they think, when obviously if they could think, they wouldn't be morons. That's kind of a basic maxim.
Exactly, Steve. And with that, we are up against the close of the show. I want to thank you, my friend. Genesis, the number six giants, and stevequayle.com. I want to thank you very much for coming on, sharing, my brother, with everything you
shared. Thank you, Doug. And listen, ladies and gentlemen, my books are only available on my website. Please get Aliens and Fallen Angels and Angel Wars. They're the two books that will equip you for the most perilous time in the world that's upon us now. God bless you, everyone.